Well, we are continuing our study of 1 Corinthians as we're moving on from our lively and life-giving discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we studied in chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. And now we're moving on, and we're finding ourselves this morning in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. If you want to turn there right now, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul is introducing the topic of resurrection. Well, this week I came across a story, and it goes like this. Four friends were talking about death. One of them asked the other three, "When you are in your casket and people are mourning you, what would you like to hear them say about you?" Well, the first guy answered this way. He said, "I'd like to hear them say that I was a fine physician and a really good family man." The second fellow said this. He said, "I'd like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and a school teacher that really impacted children's lives." The third man replied this way. He said, "I'd like to hear them say, look, he's moving." Unless Jesus returns quickly, every one of us is going to die. We're all going to die. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. It's a happy day. You're going to die. You're going to die. It says in Hebrews 9, verse 27, "It is appointed for man to die once." We're going to die. But there's something in us that fights this reality, isn't there? There's something inside of us that fights death, that desires life. And that desire is put there by God. It's a good desire, a desire to live and live to the full and enjoy life. It's God's plan for our lives. Life is His plan. He's put that desire in us because His desire for our lives is eternal life. Life now and life forever. That's God's desire. Now the world, on the other hand, the world is fascinated with death. We see it all over the place. Skulls and crossbones are the big thing these days. Death, death, death. The world is fascinated with death. And most recently, we keep hearing about this thing called zombies. Zombie this, zombie that. There's movies out about zombies. There's video games about zombies. On college campuses, young people are playing this game called Humans versus Zombies, and it's zombies this and zombies that. In fact, I even heard this with the discussions about the lost jet, the Malaysian jet that was lost. I heard that this was seriously being discussed on CNN, that they were talking about, did the plane become a zombie plane? And they were like adults on the news discussing this, like this was a potential theory. And it's crazy. What is a zombie? Most often it's referred to as a zombie as the walking dead. And now when I hear the definition of a zombie, I think, well, yeah, the world is full of zombies because there's a lot of walking dead. People are not in Christ Jesus. They are the walking dead, dead in their sins and trespasses. They are the walking dead. But the way the world defines a zombie is this. They say it's a deceased person who's partially returned to life, but in this near mindless state, no emotions. Their flesh is kind of still a little decayed and all this. And I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm like, this is crazy. It's sick, it's perverted, and it's just really evil. But again, this is the world's cheap way of trying to figure out, oh, can people come back to life and what would that look like? And wow, so let's create this whole idea. It's a cheap counterfeit. But this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to discard the trash that the world is talking about, and we're going to look at God's Word. We're going to look at how God's Word unpacks an amazing truth. An amazing truth about the plans that God has for His people. And that is resurrection. His plan is to resurrect our physical bodies and give us life everlasting. That's God's plan. So we're going to talk about what does that look like, what does that all mean, and we're going to find that right here in God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The title of today's sermon is The Resurrection Reality. The Resurrection Reality. We're going to continue in chapter 15, and this chapter is fully dedicated to reminding the church that God has an amazing future plan for every one of us. Every one of us. For all who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, what we're talking about this morning, this is your inheritance. This is your eternity. This is what is going to happen. These are God's plans for you, His children. And as surprising and as exciting as we can imagine God's plans are for our lives, this future that we have in Christ Jesus, this eternal, everlasting future that we have in Christ, does not consist of an eternity floating around on clouds in some ethereal, disembodied spirit being state. It doesn't. Rather, God has something much more exciting for each one of us. He has brand new, resurrected, physical, tangible bodies planned for us. That's what He has. That's what He has planned for our eternity. Let's go to God's Word. Let's encounter this exciting resurrection reality. We're going to begin by understanding point number one. We got to start here, and this is where it starts in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. This is how the Apostle Paul rolls it all out with this first reality. Number one, the reality that Jesus was resurrected. It all begins with that. We sang about that this morning. Jake encouraged us in that this morning. The cross had its place. The death of Jesus was needed in order to pay the price of our sins. But it's the resurrection of Jesus that gives us the victory. Let's go to chapter 15. We're going to jump down to verse 12. I encourage you to read the entire chapter. If I can give you homework, which I will, read it. Before you go to bed tonight, read the entire chapter 15. We're going to start here in verse 12 with this truth, with this declaration, with this word from God Himself. He says, but in fact, this is a fact. What is about to be declared to you right now from God, from His Word, is a fact. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He was resurrected, in other words. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead as the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, he's talking about Adam, also by a man, by Jesus, he's saying here, has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, we're all dead in our trespasses because of sin, because of original sin, because it entered into this world. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ, those in Christ, because of Christ, those whose hope is Christ, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Be made alive. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the most significant event of all time. It is the pinnacle of redemptive history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the cornerstone on which our hope rests, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But check this out. Jesus has not kept this resurrection to Himself. He hasn't just kept it to Himself. He has applied it to us, those of us who are in Christ. So also in Christ shall all be made alive. Those who are in Christ, we also have victory, the same victory over sin and death. So just to let you know, right now you have victory. You have all you need, it says in Peter, all you need in Christ Jesus for life and godliness. You have the victory. Christ won the victory. It's applied to you. His grace has been given to you. The same power that raised Christ is in you. Right now, you have a new life in Christ Jesus right now. But it's going to even go further than that into eternity. Because as that reality of Jesus Christ being physically resurrected from the dead is going to also be applied to us who are in Christ Jesus, we too will experience the actual resurrection and the complete transformation of our bodies. Just like Jesus did. We're going to experience that same reality. All because of the reality that Jesus was resurrected. Point number two, the second reality that we want to look at from chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is the reality of our resurrected bodies. The reality of our resurrected bodies. First, Jesus was resurrected. But that means that we too will be resurrected. Back to verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. We too will experience the resurrection reality. Check this out. Jump down to verse 50. Verse 50 of chapter 15. Paul continues. He says, I tell you this, brothers. And again, this is a fact. That's what he's saying. I tell you this. You need to hear this. You need to know about this reality right here, right now. I tell you this, brothers. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. And I'm telling you what, it's still a mystery to people. People will read the Bible and it still confounds their mind and blows their mind. They're like, I don't get it. But listen, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. And we sang this morning. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And Paul is quoting Isaiah 25. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast because of this reality. That's what he's saying. Therefore, because of this reality that we just talked about, of the resurrection of the body, of the victory of Christ Jesus that's applied to the saints, because of this reality of eternity here, brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We got to understand our future. Because when we understand our future, the plans of God that He has for us, it affects how we live today. And because we understand God's amazing future that He has for us, we need to be steadfast, immovable, strong. We sang about it earlier, His love. The world is going to throw all kinds of wrenches at us, all kinds of curveballs at us. It's going to throw hurt and pain at us. That happens. We live in a broken world. Don't blame that on the Lord. That's the broken world that we live in. You want to give God credit. Give Him credit for what His plans are for you. Give Him credit for going to the cross. Give Him credit for the amazing redemptive plan of raising His Son from the dead. Give Him credit for applying that to you in Christ Jesus so that you can have life now and forever. Give Him credit for that. So do we hear what Paul is declaring here in chapter 15? There is a real day, an actual real day, when our current perishable bodies, how many of you know your bodies are perishing? Yeah? It's amazing I don't have to wear my little glasses up here right now, but I've got this iPad so I can increase the size of my font enough so that I can see it. You know, our bodies, our physical bodies in this fallen world are perishing, and they will die. And that's all good, and that's all cool. No problem. No problem, because we know the rest of the story. This is the rest of the story. This is the rest of the story. There is a real day when our current perishable bodies are going to be resurrected. They're going to be resurrected in glorified newness of life, and they will be imperishable. No more pain, no more brokenness, no more deterioration, no more kidney stones, no more rashes, no more back pain, no more of that garbage, no more of that stuff, no more of that brokenness. They will be renewed, resurrected, and be made glorious and perfect, imperishable and immortal. This resurrection reality is God's plan for all of us who are in Christ Jesus. It will happen because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how good God is. Those are His plans for us, His people. So the first reality is a reality of Jesus' resurrection. The second reality is the reality that our bodies will be resurrected. And the third reality that I want to cover that's going to kind of span all of this and bring it all together, I believe, is reality number three, the reality of eternity. I mean, some people, and I get this, I understand it, because it can be really hard to comprehend, and there's so many different views about eternity. And what's it going to look like? What's heaven like? What's the new earth? What's all this? Well, you know, how's it going to happen? Are we going to be taken up? When are we going to be taken up? How are we going to be taken up? All this stuff. And so a lot of people just say, you know what? I'm just going to let God be God, and it's all going to happen, and He's going to figure it all out. And I understand that, and we know God is sovereign, and He's perfect, and His plans will happen, and we can trust His plans because we know they're going to be good. Yet, He has given us insight in His Word to His plans, and He's given us this insight so that it will affect us and even affect how we live today. It will affect how we think. It will affect our understanding of Him, and it will result in how we live out this life today going into eternity and enjoying eternity. So that's why it's important to talk about eternity. So point number three, the reality of eternity. It seems to me that the reality of the resurrection even doesn't have the same place of prominence and power for us today that it did in the early church and for the early Christians. It's not something we talk about a whole lot. Our resurrection, the resurrection of our bodies. I think it's because we've developed a wrong view of eternity. When we talk about the future, when we talk about eternal things, we usually talk about heaven. Right? And that's good. That's good to talk about heaven, to look forward to that. And heaven, as we talk about it, tends to imply a place far away, though. Because, hey, we're ready to get away from the state that we're in right now, right? So heaven's got to be far away, and let's go. And it's usually characterized by, again, non-material, this kind of this ethereal, disembodied, almost like we begin to get this picture, and it just happens over time. We get this picture like we're going to become these little chubby cherubs that are just, you know, floating around in the clouds for all eternity, and there's going to be this gold all around, and we're these little floaty cherubs with little wings, you know, and we're just all in this big room and singing all day long as little chubby cherubs and stuff. And I mean, this is where we go. This is where we start to go when we think of eternity and in heaven, and we start to imagine these kinds of things. But our hope is so much bigger than that. And God's Word shows us what that is. He explains what our ultimate eternity really does look like. It's not about floating around on clouds in heaven. That's not our ultimate destination. Now, there is heaven, and there is a time, and there is a place, and there is a span, and there is a purpose for heaven, and even us in heaven and interacting with heaven. Yes, that is true. But our ultimate hope is so much crazier and bigger and amazing than that. Our ultimate hope is living with Jesus, who, by the way, is currently not floating around in some disembodied state. He was resurrected and given a new resurrected, glorified body that he was in when he went to be with the Father at the right hand. So our eternity is an eternity living with Jesus in resurrected, glorified bodies in the same state and form that he is in. That's our future. And living on a physical earth in physical bodies with a physical Jesus and enjoying him forever. That's what the Bible says our inheritance and our future is. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica about this future reality. He wrote to the church because here's what was going on there. They had loved ones who were dying. And more than likely, many of them were dying because they were being martyred, because of their faith. And so Paul was writing to the church to encourage the church in their time of loss, in their time of grieving for their loved ones. And he was encouraging those who lost the loved ones with the assurance not that their loved ones were with Christ in heaven, as wonderful as that is, but that's not what he wrote. That's not how he was encouraging these believers. Rather, he was encouraging them that their loved ones would ultimately be raised bodily from the dead, physically be raised from the dead, resurrected in time to participate physically in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was how he was encouraging those who lost loved ones. He was encouraging them with the reality of the resurrection. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers. In other words, I want you to understand what's really going to happen here. What eternity really is going to look like. How this is going to all unfold. Paul's saying, let's give a little insight in this. Don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, since we believe that Jesus was resurrected, because it is a fact, even so, though, Jesus, God, will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Jesus has been resurrected, and he will resurrect, bring those that have fallen asleep. God's going to resurrect the followers of Christ. Because Jesus was resurrected, the ultimate future and reality for believers is resurrection. And the believers are going to be resurrected in the same form that Jesus was resurrected in. He's making a parallel here. Because he did it for Jesus, it's going to happen for your loved ones who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, for this we declare to you, by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who've fallen asleep. This is interesting. For those of you who understand LIFO and FIFO and all that stuff, this is like a first in, first out type of a situation he's saying. He's saying those who died are going to be resurrected and get their resurrected, glorified bodies before those who are alive when Christ comes back. That's all he's saying. But it's all good. We all get that inheritance. You think that's fair, Steve? I appreciate that. The Lord is just, that's for sure. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And it says this, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Notice, again, the main hope that Paul is promoting is not to leave our bodies and be with the Lord in heaven for eternity. That's not the main hope that he is telling the church. The main hope is to receive our resurrected, transformed, perfect bodies and live with him forever in the flesh. That's our main hope. That's our eternal hope. That's what God has planned for believers. Think of how incredible this is. We talk about, oh, I want to see him. I want to hear him. I want to touch God. I want to touch from the Lord. I want to touch him. We desire that. We long for that. That's put inside of us by the Lord. He put that desire in us. And so he created us in physical bodies. In Genesis, it talks about Adam and Eve walking with the Lord, walking with him, physically walking with the Lord on a physical earth in the cool of the day. Walking with God, interacting with him physically. That's how the Lord created us. He created us as spiritual and physical together, inseparable together. The physical is not bad. We are created in his image, spiritual and physical. We walked with him before sin entered the world, perfectly spiritual and physical. And this is how God created us to interact with him for all eternity. How amazing is that? That he's going to resurrect our bodies in perfection and we are going to get to see him. See him physically with physical, resurrected, glorified, perfect vision eyes. We are going to get to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his current state, his resurrected state, and we will get to see him for all eternity. You're going to get to lay physical eyes on the Lord. You're going to get to hear his physical voice, his audible voice, with your resurrected, glorified ears, perfect hearing. Hear the Lord. You're going to get to touch him. With your glorified, resurrected flesh, you're going to get to touch him, and he will touch you. This is God's amazing plan of eternity for all of those in Christ Jesus. This is why you were created, to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. Now, we have a hard time comprehending this because right now the physical doesn't look so good. Because right now the physical state is broken. Right now we think of living on an earth like we live on now that is decaying, that things are falling apart, and we think about living in physical bodies that hurt, that get sick, that are in pain an awful lot, and we think, no, I want to escape all of that. And God says, yes, you will escape all of that. And here's how. I will resurrect you. I will bring down a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus will come from the clouds and he will come and rule and reign on the new earth. And you will be resurrected and have brand new perfect bodies and walk on that earth with Jesus and enjoy him forever. This is our inheritance. This is the reality of eternity. That's exciting. That's why all of this matters. That's why it matters that we understand about the resurrection of our bodies and that we look forward to it. So that we can understand the eternity of looking forward to spending eternity with Jesus and what that's going to look like. I know some people are like, you know, okay, great, whatever. I just want to be with Jesus. Right. This is what God's Word is saying. You want to be with Jesus. Let me just show you how glorious and amazing it's going to be. This is what it's going to be like. He created us originally in the flesh. You know what he said after he created us? God said, oh, that's very good. He didn't say, oh, man, I did a great job on the spirit side, but the flesh side, eh. They'll eventually die, and then we can just, you know, then I can just relate with them in the spirit. No, that's not what he said. He created us in his image, fully spiritual, fully physical. And he said, oh, it's very good. It's very good. I get to enjoy him forever. God's plan for us is to live forever with him in resurrected, glorified bodies. He's not going to go back on that plan. He's not going to change it. He isn't. His plan is to glorify himself. He will glorify himself through human beings and human bodies. Again, it says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, we studied this a couple months ago, do you not know that your body, your physical body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It's a dwelling place of God. It is the temple. It is where God dwells, who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Jesus went to the cross so that you could be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Why is God going to go to all the trouble? All the trouble to dirty his hands, to go to the cross, and then to come back and have to establish a new earth and have to go to all that, you know, to resurrect our bodies and pull them out of the dead state and make them perfect. Why is he going to do all of that? Because his son paid the price of his life for that. Jesus gave it all. He went to the cross so that this plan, God's plan, would happen. So that our bodies would be resurrected. And so that we would spend eternity with God in this way. God's not going to dishonor the work of his son. That's why he will raise our bodies. He will resurrect us. It will happen. So Jesus came physically. He died a physical death. He was raised physically so that we too will be completely renewed physically. Revelation 21, first five verses. Say, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. How many of you are ready for the new earth? Oh, yes, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. This is just how amazing God is. He's coming down to us again. He did it one time. Jesus came down to us to rescue us, to make his dwelling with us in order to save us and to redeem us. And he's doing it again. He's coming down. He's bringing heaven down to us. God is so good. He doesn't make us find some kind of ladder that we got to climb and to get to him and makes it hard and it's all dip. No, he's coming down to us again. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them. Jesus is coming, and he will be with us, and he'll be our God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, because we're in resurrected, glorified bodies, on a resurrected, glorified new earth. There will be no more death. No more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. It's done. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. This is the reality of our eternity. As we're looking forward to this, as we're looking forward to God's plans that he has for our future, Let's glorify Him with our bodies today. Let's glorify Him with our everything today. Let's recognize that we are eternal beings right now. We live in a broken world, but we are eternal beings. And He created us, spiritual and physical, to glorify Him with our everything. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Your strength represents your physical being. Glorify the Lord with your everything and enjoy Him with your everything. For that is your inheritance. That is your future. This is the reality of eternity for every one of us who are in Christ Jesus. God's ways are pretty amazing, aren't they? I want to invite you to stand up. I want you to stand up in your physical bodies right now. Stand up. I want us to raise our hands to the Lord. I want us to thank God for the cross. I want us to thank Jesus for His obedience, for His willingness to come down and to redeem us and to rescue us. I want us to thank God for His amazing plans and for His amazing love for us, that He is going to come down again and establish a new earth and establish new resurrected bodies, make all things new, and that He's coming to spend eternity with us because He loves us. He loves us. This is His plan. This is His design. This is His love on display. So I want us with hands raised, with hearts open, and bodies fully engaged right now to let's sing praise to Christ who has risen and who is going to raise us up from the dead.
Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave. Christ is risen from the dead, we are one with Him again. Come awake, come and rise up from the grave.